College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by Florida head coach Mike White. Gators will play Duke Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden as part of the Jimmy V Classic. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Movement Watches was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The Movement Watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company. As you're checking off your Christmas list, here's something to think about. What makes a Movement watch the perfect gift? Well, they have his and her styles. One size fits all. With Movement's versatile design, it's the gift they can wear with casual and formal wear. And it's the perfect price with Movement watches starting at just $95. There has been over 500,000 watches sold in over 160 countries. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/hoops. That's MVMTwatches.com/hoops. This watch has a really clean design. Seriously, I've been getting compliments ever since I put it on. Now's the time to step up your watch game. Go to movementwatches.com/hoops. That's MVMTwatches.com/hoops. Join the movement. And now that we've got you set for your watch game, let's get into some of the main headlines that I took away from last weekend in college basketball. We have to start with what happened at Rupp Arena. UCLA goes into Kentucky, scores 97 points, the most ever allowed by the Wildcats under John Calipari. It was the best offensive performance we've ever seen against the John Calipari coach Kentucky team. And UCLA, even though they looked like the team to beat in the Pac-12 with what's happened at Arizona and the chemistry issues at Oregon, the Bruins didn't just solidify themselves as the team to beat in the Pac-12. They returned as a national player really for the first time since Ben Howland was head coach. I know Steve Alford, okay, won a Pac-12 championship in his first season in Westwood, but again, that team was mostly recruited by Ben Howland, Kyle Anderson, Jordan Adams. Alford did an unbelievable job with that group, took them to the Sweet 16, but right now, UCLA back under Steve Alford as a national power, really in my opinion for the first time since Ben Howland. And we've talked a lot about how potent UCLA's offense is. The one thing that isn't getting enough attention, the Bruins have six starters because Aaron Holiday is not a sixth man. Six players on this team averaging in double figures. Another thing to think about, another headline that I took away from the weekend, Gonzaga's balance. To me, this is the most balanced team that Mark Few has ever had. Seven players are averaging between 7.6 points and 13.1 points. And how about the Zags' resume? They've already beaten San Diego State, Arizona, Florida, and Iowa State. Could this be the year that Mark Few finally breaks through and gets that elusive Final Four? Next up for Gonzaga, they will host Washington on Wednesday night in Spokane. And finally, you know, we saw Jason Tatum and Marquise Bolden, Duke's talented freshmen, make their respective debuts this season on Saturday night against Maine at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And look, I, just like everybody else, want to see what this Duke team is going to be like when everybody gets on the court. Now, the only guy who hasn't played yet for Duke is Harry Giles, who, again, has had multiple knee injuries over the past couple years. But as high as Jason Tatum and Marquise Bolden, okay, are looking on draft boards for 2017, and as much as people, including myself, have forecasted Grayson Allen as the potential national player of the year, nobody on Duke has been better to start this season than Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard, the 6'6 lefty who was a sophomore, is currently averaging 19.4 points after averaging 11 8.8 points last season, and he was sensational. I know it was against Maine, but he was sensational against Maine Saturday night, 35 points on 16 shots. So Duke, again, starting to get healthy. We're going to see, obviously, the Blue Devils coming up Tuesday at Madison Square Garden against Florida. What will the Gators have to do to pull an upset? We'll find out when the College Hoops Today podcast returns. Florida head coach Mike White joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to tell you that the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Indochino. A couple of weeks back, I had the chance to visit the Indochino store here in New York for a custom fitting, and I have to tell you, it was a truly great experience. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. They're making it easy for men to get great fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. Visit Indochino.com or do what I did and drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. You get to pick from an assortment of fabrics and patterns, choose all your customizations, submit your measurements as well. In 4 weeks, you'll have the most stylish suit you've ever worn. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Hoops at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Hoops. For any premium suit, it's just $389 and free shipping. Get ready to look like $1 million. Florida is off to a strong start under second-year head coach Mike White. The Gators 7-1 in their first 8 games and will play Duke at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday night as part of the Jimmy V Classic. And the aforementioned head coach joins us now. Coach, your initial thoughts on your team just 8 games into the season?
We're in a pretty good spot, John. I'm pleased with our effort to this point, especially defensively. I got a hard-working team. I really enjoyed working with these guys. On a daily basis, we've got some experience. We've got quality depth. We've got some improvement individually throughout the program. Johnny Bruno, Devin Robinson are marketably improved from a year ago with skill level and maturity and so on and so forth. Steady play from Hill, Tioza, Leon, Hayes. The addition of Canyon Berry has been really strong for us. The presence of Kayvon Allen, who's a terrific player. And Keystone adds more depth to a pretty deep team already. Had a great game against a good Miami team. And I like where we're at. We've got to continue to improve. We've got a really tough slate ahead of us, of course. So we've got to continue to hang our hat on defending and rebounding and hope to be a better team in February than we are right now.
For you personally, what's the biggest difference internally about the job and the University of Florida that you have this year right now versus maybe 12 months ago at this point?
Most of all, John, just the obvious. I don't have a great answer for you there. Just the obvious. I mean, the familiarity with our guys. We understand what we're getting on a daily basis. I know our guys more collectively, individually. They know me more. They know my staff more. The expectations are a little bit more clear. What we want to stand for as an offense, as a defense, the terminology, so on and so forth. It's much more of our team, you know, than it was a year ago. And not that we had a bunch of issues or what have you last year, but as people talk about all the time, you know, once you get your own guys in there, so on and so forth. We had a talented team last year. We have a very talented team now. We've added depth again. We've added experience, but most of all, we've got as much as anything, I should say. We've got a bunch of guys now that are a little bit more bought in, have a little bit more faith in what we're doing, and that's natural. So credit to our guys that they've really worked hard.
Now, one of the things that I don't think a lot of people are aware of is you haven't had a true home game on campus yet in the non-conference portion of your schedule. What has that been like for you as a coach to prepare your team for a season without having the luxury of a true home court?
Yeah, it's been a little unique, a little bit different, John. It's really the silver lining in it is that it's given us an opportunity to spend a lot more time together. And again, a talented group. We kind of pieced it together with a couple new guys and guys, again, it's still the transition. You know, it's still, we're still, a lot of these pieces are pieces that didn't quite max out last year or the year before. And to give us this opportunity to spend time and get to know each other better, to talk things out, to be in more hotel rooms, you know, meeting rooms more often, to be on the bus more often than the average team. I think it's helped us. I think it's helped us come together. I think it's helped us fight together when we're between the lines. Obviously, naturally, you get some of those strength of schedule, computer number opportunities to help you down the road. If we are in that conversation, again, have a ton of work to do to be in the conversation, but trying to take full advantage of the opportunities.
And for those listening, the reason why Florida hasn't been able to play a true home court game yet is due to the renovations at the O'Connell Center. Those are expected to be complete in December. Florida head coach Mike White joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Gators 7-1 so far this season. They will play Duke on Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden. And Mike, you know, I'm curious. You had some great teams at Louisiana Tech. You obviously played games in the conference tournament that were big. But pound for pound, inch for inch, is facing the Blue Devils on Tuesday at Madison Square Garden your biggest spot in your head coaching career?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one, John, and I don't mean to dodge it. Just being dead honest with you, it's something that I hadn't thought about, I won't think about. This isn't about me. It's not about people that brought up, you know, your dad's at Duke, and it's a family-type deal, and talk about the individual experience it's going to be. It's not – this is about Casey Hill and Johnny Boone and Devin Robinson and Canyon Berry. These guys are so excited to play such a high-level program, arguably the best program in college basketball, against arguably the best coach in the history of sport, and Mike Krzyzewski. It's really exciting. It's exciting for all of us. We're going to take this opportunity and hope to improve, hope to, within the 40 minutes against Duke, get better, see ourselves grow from some opportunities in the past that we've had opportunities to learn from. And obviously, you've got a measuring stick there where – let's see where we stack up. Hopefully you play really well to see, to be competitive and to see where you stack up against some of the best.
Well, then answer this for me. With the return of Tatum and Bolden, and you look at their entire roster right now, just the depth, the talent, the upside,
yeah.
Is Duke's roster the most talented roster that you've ever coached against?
Oh, absolutely. Without question. My goodness, these guys – I was talking to our local media here a little while ago, and it's hard to imagine how good they can be, you know, by February when these guys, especially these young guys, get added experience. And the guys that have played to this point with a so-called lack of depth, some of these guys are very inexperienced. So the guys that have already played, they'll continue to get better. They'll log less minutes, get beat up a little bit less, I'm sure. And when you add Bolden and Tatum and they get 15 games under their belt, you're talking about a team that if you look at KenPom this morning, they're the number one offense in the country. And now you add Tatum and Bolden. Wow. So they're in for a special year, I believe. And we're excited about just having the opportunity to be on the court with those guys and see where we stack up.
Mike, you had mentioned in one of your responses earlier that your father, Kevin White, is the athletic director of Duke. He's also been the athletic director of Notre Dame and other schools. When your parent is in that type of position of athletic prominence and you're in your formative years, did you feel pressure to be a head coach or to do something in athletics that would obviously have a high level of magnitude?
Absolutely not. No pressure at all. I was halfway through my senior year, give you a really quick version, John. Playing for Rod Barnes at Ole Miss, and you know, at that point it starts creeping in. Heck, what am I going to do next year? You know, and I'm going to try to play professionally. You know, I played at the end of the bench in a couple of minor leagues there in England and in New Mexico, and realized very quickly I wasn't good enough. And at that point, I just thought, you know what, I'm not ready to give up the game. I love the game of basketball. I'd love to be able to give back and help. Some of these young guys learn, as many have helped me. And my father, in fact, he tried to talk me out of it a few times. And I considered administration, but no pressure there. It was just about, hey, I just wanted to be in basketball. I didn't want to give it up. I wanted to be a part of it. Eventually, heck, I'd love to be a head coach. That was the mindset going in. Never thought that, hey, I had to be a head coach or that I even have the opportunity. And I've just been very, very fortunate to work for some really good guys be put into some really good positions. And, of course, just an unbelievable honor to be here at this point at the University of Florida.
Why did your father try and talk you out of it? What did he say to you?
You know what? It's a great question. I guess looking back, just thought it was a little bit nuts. Just thought that he could help me more going into the administrative side of things. I think that he was a guy that we moved around a bunch as kids. I've lived in 14 states, and he knew that I was a guy that you know, wanted a little bit of security, wanted a little bit of stability. Excuse me. I think everyone wants that for their kids. I think you've probably had a lot of administrators that have tried to steer their sons away from the craziness, the uncertainty, the lack of security within coaching. But at the same time, he respects it. He appreciates it. I think he's happy, obviously, that I've gone this route. My brothers went the administrative route. It's worked out for all of us.
Well, you might not have felt pressure internally from your family to be something in collegiate athletics, but, you know, I used to write and I used to talk about how whoever decided to follow Billy Donovan at Florida was crazy. And I'm just curious, why weren't you intimidated by following somebody who not just won back-to-back national championships, but really made Florida one of the elite programs in the sport and the second program in the SEC alongside Kentucky?
John, I just think there's pressure everywhere. We had pressure at Louisiana Tech, you know, and it's all about how you deal with that pressure and whether or not you decide to allow that to be the number one factor in your job. To me, the way that I looked at it is that Florida is, if it's such a great job, if Coach Donovan made it such a great job, why the heck would I not take that opportunity with all of the resources you have there, with arguably the number one athletic department in the country, with such a strong world-renowned brand, not just national brand, in the University of Florida, in the Gator logo. I mean, it's a special place academically. It's a special place. The doors are opened nationally to a ton of recruits. You can attract a really, really good student athlete, high character kids. So it's not about that. I mean, I guess if you thought about it all day, you'd probably drive yourself crazy. But the way I look at it is again, Coach Donovan made this an unbelievable job. Jeremy Foley made this an unbelievable job. And it was a really easy decision for me.
You know, Billy was taking the Oklahoma City job when you were getting to Gainesville, but, you know, obviously covering him a long time and know the type of guy that he is. I'm sure he made himself available to you. What's the relationship like between Mike White and Billy Donovan?
Well, I would say it's very healthy. You know, I'm not going to pretend that we talk every other day. We didn't know each other before I got this job. I will say that he was incredibly gracious to call me the day before the press conference. We talked for an hour the first time we ever talked. We talked for an hour. I mean, the guy, I can't imagine how busy he was in taking over not only a new job, but it's almost a new profession. I mean, coaching in that league as compared to coaching in collegiate basketball is very, very different. And, you know, he had to be as busy as anybody at that point. And there were several phone calls there that were very time-consuming for him in terms of me reaching out and wanting opinions on this or opinions on that, advice on this, advice on that, him reaching out, hey, you may want to think about this or that. So he's been very gracious. He's very, very proud of what he built here, obviously. I think he really cares about Gainesville, about the University of Florida, especially Florida basketball. And he's been extremely accessible. I just try not to wear him out.
Florida head coach Mike White joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Florida 7-1 so far this season. Gators and Duke Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden in the Jimmy V Classic. You know, Mike, you had a great run at Louisiana Tech, but I think the one thing that you and I always talked about when you were there was it all came down to a couple of good days in March in order to get to the NCAA tournament. That's not the case anymore. How much easier is it to move forward and really just to worry about getting your team better when you know you're in a multi-bid league like the SEC versus a one-bid league like Conference USA?
Now, John, I think that's a great point. I think when it's so under valued, not talked about nearly enough, that the pressure, you brought up pressure earlier, the pressure at that level in some of those leagues to be just potentially an at-large, no matter how small your chances are, but you know, you beef up your schedule a little bit, you win a guarantee game, you know, you've got an unbelievable record, what have you, as a lot of these really good mid-majors have, the pressure night in and night out that you absolutely have to win or it comes down to your conference tournament is immense, and it's tough. It's tough to deal with, and for 3 years in a row, we were one of those teams, and it seemed like every night was the Super Bowl. And then when you become a team that gets knocked out of that conversation, obviously the conference tournament is the Super Bowl each and every game. You know, we're in a league now that's rebuilding, a league that's very, very talented. It's going to continue to get better and better. I think our league's off to a good start this year. Good coaches, again, really good players. Our league is recruiting very, very well. I looked at it this morning. We have 8 teams right now in the KenPom, in the RPI Top 60. We have 11 teams in the KenPom Top 100. So we have tons of opportunity to focus more on, as you said, John, getting better today offensively. Let's see how we play against Duke. When we get back, let's get a little bit better defensively. It's not all about that next game. It's you want to win every one, of course, but we've got time. We've got opportunities. It allows you to focus as much on yourself as it does on your schedule.
What's the biggest difference in this year's team at Florida versus last year's?
I think first off, I think individually we're better. I'd like to credit my guys. I mean, Johnny Bueno is a better player than he was. You know, he's coming off a sit-out year. He's learned a lot. He's worked his butt off. He's shooting free throws at a higher rate. He's more mature. He's a little bit older. You know, Devin Robinson's made a huge jump. He's older. He's more seasoned. He's a little hungrier, you know, more mature. Casey Hill's converting at the foul line. It's his last go-round. He's a senior. He wants to finish strong. So the addition of Canyon Berry, of course, gives us another veteran. Justin Leon, a year ago, as a senior starter for us, he was months removed from junior college. So individually, we've just gotten better. I think our culture is a little bit better, which is natural. You know, the expectations are understood, the familiarity with the staff with the players, so on and so forth. Just being year two just makes it naturally a lot easier. It's more enjoyable at practice daily. We have strong relationships with these guys. It's more of our team, if you will. There's a little bit more buy-in than a year ago. Not that we were dysfunctional, but we're pretty functional in that regard this year. I like our team. These guys are really working.
Mike, you wouldn't be where you are right now if you didn't have incredible success as a basketball coach. You won 83 games combined in your final 3 years at Louisiana Tech, but like we talked about, you didn't break through and go to the NCAA tournament, and that's what happens sometimes when you're in a one-bid league. I'm curious, how often does Mike White, whether he's going for a jog or driving to work, think about just breaking through and getting to the NCAA tournament and just having that press conference on Selection Sunday with your local media just to kind of make sure that you've gotten over that hurdle?
Yeah, John, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been times in the past few years where it's consumed me, where it's absolutely consumed me. Where I'm thinking about it as much as anything. And it's been unhealthy, not only for myself, but for our program and for our current team. I think that too much was made last year in terms of getting to the tournament. It was late last year. I feel like we played a little tight. We played, you know, when you're playing not to lose, I almost feel like the last month of the season we were playing – you know, not to lose an opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament. And I don't think that you can coach that way. I don't think it's right to put your guys in that position. So most of my focus right now, again, is on individual relationships with these guys, on getting better daily, on staying in the moment, you know, with these guys, with enjoying the process. And if this team can max out, you know, again, if we can be significantly better in February than we are today, all that stuff will work itself out. And that's, again, it's that's what we're trying to do. Will it creep in? Yeah, it'll creep in. You know, man, we got to get to the tournament. But It's in my opinion, it's not the right outlook. It's not right for your staff. It's not right for your team. It's not right for them individually. Right now, we're focused again on helping these guys become better individually and being the best team we can, having fun along the way.
Final thing, Mike. You know, to make the NCAA tournament, you have to be a team that people won't want to play towards the end of the season. What's the biggest thing that has to happen between now and mid-February and early March for Florida to be a team that people don't want to play when it counts later in the year?
Yeah, I think sustainability as much as anything. I think we've been pretty good at this point. I keep it in perspective with our guys. I'm realistic with our guys, and I'm going to give you the same answer. We've been pretty good. I mean, does that mean we're going to be really good against Duke? I don't know. I hope so. You know, we were really good against Gonzaga in the first half, and we weren't as good in the second half, almost playing not to lose, trying to hang on, if you will. We're a little bit of a different team. Of course, had a ton to do with Gonzaga and how good they are. Hit some big shots against us. But sustainability, avoiding agendas, continuing to be mature, continuing to grow together, because I think we're a good team right now. I really do. Now we can veer, you know, away from that because of some of the factors that we've talked about. We can start reading headlines. You know, we can start not handling success the right way, looking for our own offense. You know, things like that. We can split, if you will, as a team. But right now, sustainability, maturity are our most important factors, because I think right now we are a team. It's not. I don't think it's overly comfortable to play us when we're really locked in defensively. I don't think we're a great offensive team, but we're working on it, and that would probably be the next factor. Can we make a big jump offensively in the next 2 months while we sustain that defensive effort? Got to get better on the defensive glass as well. And if we can do all those things, John, you know, the hope is that you're sitting there in February as a team that's very tough to play against.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Safe travels to New York, Mike. We appreciate your time. You know how busy you are. Good luck against Duke, and look forward to keeping in touch along the way.
Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having me, man.
I'd like to thank Florida head coach Mike White for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We're in December and the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. Order from Omaha Steaks and get the perfect gift, all while avoiding the malls, lines, and crowds. When I get my Omaha Steaks, I love throwing the steak on the grill and eating it that night. And the sides, too. It's beyond perfect. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get my family gift back when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code HOOPS in the search bar. That's 77% off. Omaha Steaks has over 500 gourmet gift ideas with all the highest quality cuts and ingredients. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to my listeners. Listen to everything that you will get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 12-ounce packages of all beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus 4 additional sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code HOOPS in the search bar, and add the family gift pack to your cart and get a 77% savings. It's a gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. Now that we've got you set up for your Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve parties, we want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Time now for our social media portion. of the College Hoops Today podcast. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Paul, and it's, John, I'm a Virginia fan. Should the loss to West Virginia concern me? And, Paul, my answer is this. I think Virginia right now has too much of an onus on London Parentis offensively. They need to find a secondary score, and they need to find one fast. The next question is coming from Carter Michaels, and it's, John, with wins over Texas Tech and at UAB, how close is Auburn to being a serious contender for a tournament bid? And Carter, my answer to that is I don't see Auburn yet as a tournament contender, but I did put them on the cusp in my top 25. I had Auburn somewhere this week between 26 and 30. Again, some big games for the Tigers also looming in December before SEC play. They'll play Boston College in the Garden, and they'll also play at UConn. I know those teams don't have the same cachet that maybe we thought they would, especially UConn. Boston College obviously wasn't supposed to be that good. I know people thought UConn would be a top 20 team, including myself, but that would still be a big win for Auburn to go on the road and win those two games away from SEC country. Time now, since we've got you set with our interactive session through Twitter, to go through some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. Ed Cooley is going Ed Cooley. Providence, despite losing Ben Bentel, Chris Dunn, and Junior Lumumba, is 6-2 with wins over Memphis and Rhode Island. The Friars should be 11-2 entering Big East play if they win the remaining of their games. Nugget number two, closing time. Melo Trimble is as important to his team as any player in America. He's done everything for Maryland, made key free throws down the stretch versus Kansas State. He also made a key layup 2 weeks ago against Kansas State. So Kansas State and Oklahoma State, two Big 12 teams, they have both fallen to Maryland because of one man, Melo Trimble. Nugget number three, Brooks is building. Dylan Brooks quietly averaging 21.5 points in Oregon's last two games. I said it before, I'll say it again. The Ducks won't play a true road game until January 4th. These next couple of weeks, a real chemistry building session for Dana Altman. Nugget number four, USC quietly doing work despite an injury to Benny Boatwright, who suffered an MCL injury, who's out 4 to 6 weeks or so. USC beats BYU pretty convincingly on Saturday night. The Trojans now 8-0, and I can't say enough about the progression of Jordan McLaughlin at point guard. Just one turnover against the Cougars on Saturday night. Nugget number five, a Mountain West disaster. The Mountain West Missouri Valley Challenge did not work out well for the Mountain West Conference. New Mexico loses at Illinois State. San Diego State loses at Loyola, Illinois. I'm telling you, this to me is looking once again like a one-bid league. Now that we've got you set for your Nuggets, let's look at some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday night, Villanova against LaSalle and the Palestra. The Wildcats, the number one team in the country. Florida against Duke at MSG as part of the Jimmy V Classic. Another one to keep an eye on. Cal against Princeton in Hawaii. Ivan Rabb putting up monster numbers, close to 20 and 10 for the Bears. Princeton, to me, a sleeper to watch in March. And Wednesday, Creighton is on the road at Nebraska. The Jays have not played a true road game yet this season. And also, Xavier travels to Colorado. Chris Mack, to me, has played the toughest non-conference schedule in America in terms of true road games. Xavier lost at Baylor on Saturday, although they played well for a large portion of the game. They'll go to Colorado Wednesday night, and they still have a road game in January against Cincinnati. We'd like to thank Florida head coach Mike White for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.